This is part two by County General Election Platform at the MLK Center, Macomb, Mississippi.
So that friendliness is deep down rooted within, and that's what I will continue to do as circuit clerk.
As we know that the circuit clerk's office also deals with closely with our election commissioners, so how will you improve that in making sure that every voter, every citizen who can be a voter, registered to vote, is registered to vote, and has not been purged? How we keep active records, I guess, is what I want to ask. The voter rolls.
Well, commissioners are the one that does the purging, and you have to miss several elections before you can even be considered to be purged. The biggest thing is to stay an active voter. Even if you move, you need to keep us updated, because if you don't, you go inactive and you're following your way to being purged, because, like she said earlier, jury summons, they come back. Like we did the mass mailing for voter cards. We sent out thousands of cards, but the majority of them came back because people didn't update their records, closed P.O. boxes. So it's the voters' responsibility to let us know this, and the commissioners are going to, by law, are required to take this purging system and purge voters. And it's not targeted to anybody, but that's the law.
Okay. I would say to keep the voter rolls accurate, there are laws governing that. And the election commissioners, they're sent lists from the state. If you're dead, they'll purge you. You know, they check the obituaries, they check the list from the state, and they purge those people. But also, if you move, if you need to change anything, you can go on the Secretary of State's website. Anyone can. I can make sure you are registered, make sure you are a registered voter.
Natalie versus
Once you are registered,
Brenda.
You can change your address yourself at the Secretary of State's website. So I would do some education and outreach about that. I think people don't always know those resources. A lot of people do a lot of their business now online. You don't have to do things in person. It still works in person. A lot of people want to go in person. But I myself don't always have time to drive down to the courthouse or even call. I want to do it online because that's how I'm used to doing business.
And that only applies to your active voters.
Question from the floor: how long does it take to get your voter registration card once it's filed? Explain the streamlined process you spoke about. Who wrote that question?
I did.
Okay.
To Natalie, I believe you talked about streamlined documents. In your introduction.
Can you read the question?
Okay, so the question is to get your voter registration card. When you were over there, you talked about streamlining documents.
Processes, not documents. Well, like I said about the passport, updating the in-office passport, making it a faster process. We didn't have to go to other offices. We could do it all there.
Ms. Denise, you want to talk about how long it takes to get your voter registration card?
Usually, they are processed daily. We get them through GPS, we get them through mail, we get them through walk-ins. And usually I process them daily, so they usually go out within the week. Unless it's like all these hardworking people that have been out here getting all these applications, and it's been taking weeks to do it. Mm-hmm. But bottom line, about 7 days.
Okay. All right, so those are the questions. The state statute requires the circuit clerk or election commissioners to purge voters with disenfranchising crimes. However, many election commissioners have not been adequately trained to do this. How would you propose fixing this issue? Both of you. That's a question for both.
Well, right now, I'm working with them when they get their list, because some of them are on that list for that particular crime, but some of them has been amended to a lesser crime that wouldn't take away their rights. So I have been working with the commissioners with trying to stay on top of, they have a list, they give it to us, we see if it's been edited or reduced to a lesser misdemeanor that didn't take away right. And once we do that, we let Secretary of State's office know, and they remove it from the ALC. So working together with them and staying on top of it is going to be our best outcome for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to see what she said. What she said, but absolutely working together. I believe the election commissioners meet every Tuesday. It's in the circuit clerk's handbook that part, the circuit clerk also attends those meetings. So just being in there in the meetings, I think that would be a big part to it, big help. Did I answer the question?
I'm not here to tell you what to answer the question.
I may have lost track of the question here, but yes.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from the audience before I move on? I need my question now. Only because you're recording, and I allow you. While Alan is writing your questions,
Ms. Virgil, Dr. Virgil, I want to write your questions. Go on, Ms. May.
I want to ask, thank you, ladies, again for coming, but I want to ask the question, will the office be available in 2024 where organization like myself can come in, if you guys can set up some training so we can know how the office is ran? Because there's a lot of stuff that y'all do that the community don't really know. Will my organization or any other organization can come in and maybe we can set up some community town hall workshop?
That's a very good idea. I'm so sorry.
That has been part of my platform that I said once I got in office, I wanted to give back to the community and educate them of what our office do. So I would be all for that, to get with you or any other organizations. And I've also said I wanted to meet with some churches, maybe on Saturdays or whatever, and just educate the citizens on exactly what our office do for them and what service we provide.
Exactly. Many people have asked me what the circuit clerk's office actually does, other than sending jury summonses. They know that. Anything else, they're really unclear about, and they also confuse with the chancery clerk. I find that a lot. So I think education and outreach needs to always continually happen throughout the term.
Okay, this is going to be the last question for the circuit clerk folks. Do you know if there are any preventive measures in place to keep our records safe from hacklers?
Well, there is an IT department in the courthouse with the county, and they are very good. I'm on the library board, the Pike and Walthall library system, and we hire John, the same man, John, to oversee our systems. So good people who know what they're doing, looking out for your systems. Also at the state level, which you don't have a lot of control at the state level. But that's the number one thing, is that you update your systems, that you train your employees not to click through warnings or not to accidentally click on an email that's going to lead them into getting hacked. I've seen that before where somebody clicked through five levels of, are you sure you want to do this? So training them what not to do, I think, is a big part of not getting hacked.
And as she said, we do have an excellent IT guy, and he's always on top of us about that very thing, notifying the employees to be sure not to click on any suspicious emails that you're not familiar with. So they have a pretty good wall for protection of our county's service. So I think that's, we're going to be safe because they're constantly updating and upgrading themselves.
So this time I'm going to give you each 1 minute to do a wrap-up of whatever you think you need to tell them.
should vote for you on November 7th.
May?
Well, I'm asking for your vote. I wanted you to have a chance to know who I am. My platform is professionalism, and I want to be in office as professional and handle it well, treat everybody equally, treat everybody well. And from a customer service basis, and I just want you to know who I am. Whether I am, if I happen to win this election, then I will work for you all. So I hope to serve the citizens of Pike County well and equally. Thank you.
And I feel that what my community is of service, and my background is a college administrator, a human resource clerk. I have the expertise to do interviews to run the office. Again, to continue treating you with dignity and respect that I have treated you for the last 20 years. I want to work with the professionalism and let you know that I serve everyone, regardless of who you are, where you come from, and where you was raised, because we are all God's people. And that's what I stand on, and that's what I believe. As the next clerk, I ask for your vote. And again, I will be humbled if you consider me and vote for the Denny Thomas. I'll never be sorry.
I'd just like to know if the office would look like the makeup of the county if either one of you win.
Definitely. The office needs to reflect the demographics.
And I want to make sure. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Let's give these ladies a round of applause.
Natalie and Brenda.
Okay, so next group will be the district attorney. Come on, Mr. Brennan.
This is the district attorney, Brennan. Patrick Beasley is not here.
Use communities. I would like to use churches. I would like to use educational seminars. One thing that I recently just got back from a fentanyl strike force training class. And I don't know if anybody in this room knows what fentanyl is. If you don't, you will. Because it's killing our children. It's poisoning our children. I want to do things that our youth are being educated about this. That our moms, our dads, our grandmas, our grandpas, our pastors, our teachers can start looking out for some of these warning signs so we can start getting the message out. Because fentanyl, with three small children, fentanyl scares me. I've heard too many stories about a person. Just to let you know real quick, how much fentanyl it takes to kill somebody, imagine a grain of rice. A grain of rice. That would kill them. We have to educate our children, our community, and our leaders of what these dangers are.
How do you plan to work with law enforcement agencies to strengthen investigations and prosecution?
Kind of like what I was just talking about, training. Some of these trainings that I just got back from, I've already spoken with the DEA, I've already spoken with the Mississippi Attorney General's office. I want to bring these trainings to our community. I had to drive all the way to Starkville to go to this class. And I'm a Bulldog, so I didn't mind getting my trip up to Starkville. But I want these classes in our neighborhoods. I want training to be available in Pike, Lincoln, and Walthall. One of my things, and I'm probably going to be calling on members of the community to help me with this, I want to start a training, and it won't be every month in every county, but this month it might be in Pike. Next month it might be in Lincoln. The next month it might be in Walthall, where all agencies are invited to be there. But I want to make it worth their while. I want to make sure that I can get with some of these businesses, some of these communities. Let's serve these guys lunch. These guys are putting their lives on the line for us every day. Let's make it worth their while to come out to these trainings. They need to be educated. Laws change every day. They need to know what's going on in the world. They need to be aware of this stuff that I told you about fentanyl. Because like I was telling you, at that training, there was an officer that pulled over a car, and he looked down in a book bag and closed the book bag up. That small amount of fentanyl from closing that book bag almost cost him his life. So they need the training. They need to understand what we're up against. And I will work with all law enforcement. Chiefs of police, my first week in office, I plan to meet with every sheriff, chief, DOC, everybody, and we're all going to get on the same page.
Next question.
And
this is on the floor. With overcrowding of the Pike County Jail, why isn't the district attorney's office making better use of the Bill of Information to reduce the jail population? So instead of asking it like that, how will you use the Bill of Information to reduce jail population?
Well, firstly, the district attorney's office can't do this for Bill of Information. That has to come from the client. The client actually is the one that makes the decision whether or not he wants. A Bill of Information is basically saying, I don't want to go to grand jury. I want to plead guilty. So the district attorney's office doesn't get to make that decision for them. However, in instances like this, and one of the things that I would say is working very well in Lincoln and in Walthall County, is we are having monthly jail census meetings. Who's in jail, how long they've been there, what their charges are, things like that. Some of these, and we're trying to make sure that they're assigned an attorney way early in the game, because some of these people are in there for minor drug offenses. Some of them are in there for first offenses. One of the things that I believe in is second chances. People that have drug problems, they don't need to be sitting down in the Pike County Jail. They don't need to be sitting in the Mississippi Department of Corrections. If they have problems, if they need help, we have solutions for that. We have our drug court program. With a Bill of Information, we can streamline that process, get them into the drug court program, get them back out, get them back working while they're getting the drug help they need, everything else that they need. And the great thing about that is when they complete the drug court program, they walk away with a clean record. It's like it never happened. It benefits everyone. It benefits the client, It benefits society, getting more people back into the workforce, and it benefits everybody. It benefits the county not having to pay the money for them sitting in the jail.
Are there any other questions on the floor?
Would you implement a program to make sure that we have enough public defenders in Pike, Walthall, and Lincoln? In Pike County, we do not have enough public defenders. And we got case after case after case. An indigent criminals. How would you implement that?
Unfortunately, I'm not the man that you would have to ask that question, but that man right there in the white shirt of the Board of Supervisors, they are the ones that appoint and pay for the public defenders. Speaking on behalf of the public defenders, because a lot of them are friends of mine, they need help. I think right now in Pike County we have 3 full-time public defenders, or maybe it might be 4. But you just heard the numbers that I gave. And a lot of those people that are public defenders, they're only part-time. They still have their own practices. So I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I will tell you, it would be a welcome for them to either be full-time or get them some more help. Get them a couple more that can come in and help them. Would I be all for that? I would have no objection whatsoever to that. If it helps that, because in that case, it not only helps them, it helps the clients. It also puts a stress out of the county that is paying all this money for these people sitting in jail waiting. So it's a beneficial thing for everybody. So I would be in full support of this, ma'am.
All right, question from the floor. How will you notify or assist victims of support services?
Right now we have 2 full-time victims assistance coordinators. And what they do, I'm sorry, I got one of my assistants is right back there with me, Ms. Mia Spencer. We have 3 full-time victims assistance coordinators. What we do is when crimes are coming in, and one of the things that we have to do a better job of, in my opinion, is law enforcement sometimes, my victims assistance coordinators are a little late to the game because they don't know about everything. One of the things that I wanted talk about and work on is kind of like what I was talking about earlier with training with law enforcement. I need them to start contacting my people a little bit earlier. That way we can get on the ground earlier. We can start telling them what's available to them. Because with victims assistance, they have a number of great things that can help. They can help with medical bills. They can help with hospital bills. They can help with having to take off work. God forbid they can help with funeral expenses. But sometimes by the time all that gets processed, the cases are far down the road. I want to work with law enforcement to make sure that they're getting to our office a little bit earlier. That way, one of my victim's assistance coordinators can get that victim within a couple days of the crime occurring. That way, we're getting the ball rolling a little bit faster. So that's what one of the things I would do.
Okay, follow-up question to that. How do you make sure that these people know that this is available?
I plan on having a very active Facebook account. I'm just going to tell you right now, I am not going to be a prototypical politician. I'm not going to be a prototypical elected official. I want to come to these things. I want to meet with y'all. I want to be in everything I can possibly be at, as long as I'm still doing my job as well. I want my assistants to be coming up with me. One of the things that I want to do, how many times do y'all go to a Iron Horse Festival smoking on the tracks? You see politicians there about every 4 years. I want to have people there every year. I want to have people that are there that have what we can provide for you. Because our office can do bad checks. We can help with child support cases. There's a number of things people don't know the district attorney's office is. But if we're there, you can see us. We're visible. That's what I want to do. I will work for y'all. At the end of the day, I will hold law enforcement accountable, and I expect you, as Ms. McCray said, I expect you to hold me accountable. My office will be open. You will be able to come and talk with me. You'll be able to, I'll answer the questions if I'm able to. But I expect you to hold me accountable and I want to be out there working for y'all.
Okay. You have a minute to do your wrap up.
In closing, I just want to thank y'all again.
I'm sorry. I got a question from the Facebook Live. Is it okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Since I'm here. How would you address gun violence?
Gun violence is something that I think everybody in this room agrees that gun violence is out of control. When I said earlier that I believe in second chances, I do. There's exceptions. Gun violence is not an exception. If you commit a crime with a firearm in Pike County, I will do everything I can to send you to penitentiary. That's just what I believe. If you try to take someone else's life, someone else's property, I will hold you accountable. You will be treated fairly, but you will be treated harshly. One of my messages that I have is if criminals think that they're going to come into my counties and set up shop and commit armed robberies and take property from other people and sell drugs and commit all kind of violence and chaos, if they think they're going to come into my county and set up that business, my promise is this to them, as well as to you. I will make a hostile working environment for them. I will do everything I can to hold them accountable for their actions and seek justice for my victims.
One minute wrap
up. Once again, thank y'all for allowing me to be here tonight. It's an honor. I was here back in June. I enjoyed coming out. I enjoyed talking to y'all. I want to sit and meet with as many people as I can. I want to get my message out. I'm not doing this for Brendan. I'm doing this for our future. Your children, my children, grandchildren. I remember Brookhaven, McComb, Pilottown when I was a kid. I remember hanging out at the mall, going to parks, going to playgrounds. And my mom didn't have to work. I want to do everything I can to try to give our future a piece of that and see what we can do to make our community a safer place. Two words, justice and accountability. I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. Thank you so much for having me.
At this time, Brent, we will ask that our collector,
at the radio station. Okay. Don't be no stranger. Hey, darling. Brittany, this is Tom Richardson with Superman Radio 1. You did a great job. You're talking a lot of stuff everybody wants to hear. We'd like to sit down and talk with you live on the show. On the Steve Harvey Morning Show. It's the morning show. We go straight across Monday through Friday. Just call us and we'll get you.
I'd absolutely love to.
That would work real good.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
That was Brandon.
Into that and buy this, you know, get the sales of the property, but
but I think I missed the mark, so you can kind of explain that process.
So what I'm going to do in my answer to you in Facebook Live at this point, Ms. Mamie, that has changed. Like this year, whereas it used to be an in-person auction and the process was one way, it has changed to a different online auction. This is the first year that they tweaked the system, and I am not aware of all the ins and outs to that, but I will be more than happy to get that information back to you, as well as come back to Facebook Live and answer that question to anyone else that may have those questions about that auction. Because I myself had to inquire this year. There's an application process that you go through, and it's another organization or company that's now handling it. Whereas Ms. Nuttery used to do that in person for years, it just transitioned. So there's some steps that I'm not fully aware of.
That was a great answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, question from the floor. Explain what exemptions are available for disability recipients for taxes.
Social Security disability or disabled veterans or both? Okay, so a recipient of Social Security disability, you are the homeowner, this is your primary residence, you are not filing for homestead exemption anywhere else. You come into the office, the assessor's office, during that window, January 1st to April 1st to apply. If the assessed value of your home is at $7,500, which is 10% of that $75,000 value, you would be fully exempt because you're exempt up to the first $7,500 of your assessed value. So you're exempt up to that level. Anything above that, you're still required to pay taxes on. That's Social Security disability. A disabled veteran who is 100% service connected coming in to file for an exemption is fully exempt from taxes regardless as to the value of their property. You said that the disabilities, but let me just say this as well. Age 65, now that we're talking about that, I want to just throw this in because this is one that has touched me over the years. There's a misunderstanding or misconception that once I reach 65, I no longer have to pay taxes. That's true up to that $7,500 assessed value. That's the one thing. The other thing is this, guys, you have to come back to apply for that exemption. If I'm 35 and I'm receiving homestead exemption, I turn 65 this year and I don't come back to update my homestead next year, I'm still paying. So you have to come in, okay?
All right, another question. The delinquents notice that comes from the Secretary of State's office where unclaimed taxes are available, how will your office assist the taxpayer with receiving notice of such available funds?
Okay, so I think I understand the question, but there's a letter that comes from the Chancery Clerk's office when you're saying, Secretary of State sends a notice out that there are taxes that are available, like you can come in unclaimed taxes. That is through the Chancery Clerk's office. Like there's a list and you would go over there. I'm not familiar with that process totally of how you can redeem them. But
it's online for these cases. The Secretary of State will list that information. You click on the link. The link tells you where the individual may be able to redeem it from.
Right.
And they also have to verify things like the Social Security, the last known address. There's a form that you can fill out and you submit it online and it goes to the record keeper. And then they send that information back out to them.
Is this pertaining to your income taxes or your
unclaimed property? Unclaimed money that is in that particular county. And it's listed by state or it goes by
state. So not dealing with your ad valorem taxes, just unclaimed money which comes from anything. Okay, so not necessarily. Good education.
All right, will you commit to keeping all qualified employees in the tax collector's office if elected?
Yes, and yes. I have publicly committed to that more than once, and I'm going to say it again. replaced. We are a team. This is a well-oiled machine. When it's not broken, I'm not trying to go in there and fix it. We're going to keep it moving. The only change that's necessary, in my opinion, in that office is a change in leadership that only came about when Ms. Nunnery announced her retirement. So with that being in mind, I stepped up because I realized the importance of somebody with some experience or knowledge stepping into that role of leadership just to keep the team moving. Day one, that's the plan. I step in as a leader, as part of the team, with the experience and knowledge that you guys have already allowed me to gain over the years, and we keep going. Yes, I plan to keep the staff. Yes, yes.
And that being said, you have a 1 minute wrap up.
Okay, so I will stand on this. Just from my heart, guys, as I stated earlier, I vow never to get involved in politics because I do not like the messy side of politics. But at the same time, here I stand before you asking you for your vote on Tuesday, November the 7th. Reason being, my heart is in it. I realize the importance of somebody with some experience and knowledge as a taxpayer myself stepping into that office seat. But I also realize the importance of someone with some compassion and a listening ear also being in that office, which is what every elected official, in my opinion, should have, to serve people professionally and equally. That is my goal. Please vote for me, November the 7th, Angela Washington, your tax collector.
Angela Washington, for tax collector. And we're moving on. We got the corner, Rashad. Hey, big man.
Tennessee found a bill. They found a grant to where they could have autopsies done. They found anywhere between $2 to $7 million. And I have a team that's actually working on that now.
What measures will you implement to ensure timely response to death scenes and accurate documentation of relevant information?
Well, since this current office doesn't have an office to where people could come in and ask questions. Like today, I had a man come in today and ask, well, where's the coroner's office? Where is that? Where do I go to get answers? And I will implement having an office back like when Percy Pittman was in office. He worked at the hospital. So I will also have an office, and I will have people in there keeping up with good documents, good records, so the people can get the answer and the closure that they need.
How do you plan to collaborate with other law enforcement agencies and medical professionals to enhance quality of death investigations?
The thing I see about that is with the death and the investigations, one big thing that I want to work on is the fact that I don't want the family to hear about it on social media. Mm-hmm. My biggest thing is I want to be able to, or to correct me, people be able to get that information to the family. If that's roping people off a mile away to where they can't see, they can't have their phone, that's the biggest thing that I want to do. I want the people to hear it from the correct people, the law enforcement, myself, doctors. I don't want them to get it from social media.
Are there any questions from the audience?
Yeah. You mentioned something about people leaving here, going to other places. You know, I haven't been here too long, the last 3 months. I want to know what has been done to bring doctors, qualified doctors here. Is there anything here for them? You know, I found out some doctors have children. I see nothing here for children to do.
Okay, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I'm gonna stop.
Is that your job?
No, ma'am, that's not a part of his job.
I mentioned that I haven't been here that long.
Yeah, but that's question is for another person.
Well, that person here.
No, ma'am, that person is not here. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I would like for you to please, for that reason, ask right down, if you need, write your question down. I'm gonna allow you to ask the question at this time.
Well, I'm Isaac Smith, and I run this transport for the corner office. And right now, with the current administration that we have in there, as of last week, they're going, trying to cut my budget into half of than what I've been making for the last 4 years, as of October the 3rd. And, you know, and I want to ask, I've been working with the one running for corner now, and his opponent. I've been working for them for years. But they're trying to cut my budget in to less than half of what I've been making for the last 4 years. And, you know, and I want to know.
I need your question.
The question is, with your administration, is it going to cut out the transport? Because they had rumors they were going to cut the transport all the way out and how they own people. So I just wanted to know, how do you feel about it?
No, I will not cut out transport service. I will not do that. Going back to what you said earlier, I kind of know what other transport companies does in other cities and other states. With the question that they cut his pay, my first day in office and dealing with the transport service is being able for them to have a compatible rate to where they can continue to operate. They're not trying to cut it down, but they're a big part. Those cases to where it's a car accident or it's a crime scene, they have to come out and transport to Jackson. So we understand that gas is high. Insurance they have to have on their vehicle. So we want them to be able to have a piece of the pie and be able to survive to where we won't have to have people from out of town come in and do the job that they can do. So we need to keep that in the home, in Pike County, and we need to have it to where those people can make the money for what they can survive.
Okay, so how will you work with the funeral home to make sure that all the funeral homes, for those that are not specifically requested by a family, how will you make sure that all of the funeral homes in the county are in rotation, I should say?
Yes. One thing about funeral homes, a lot of people, funeral homes are like churches. A lot of people have their own funeral home that they live with. I see some of my people in here. I see some people from the elderly, young people, crabs, so forth and so on. What I would do is have a rotation. I would probably always be at the bottom. Mr. Young, Crab, and Peoples will rotate. For those families that does not have a desired funeral home. Now, if that family requests me, yes, I'm going to go. But I will have a rotation to where it's fair.
Any other questions on the floor? The Facebook Live question?
Yes, this is a Facebook Live from Devin Sterling. I'm not going to read the entire question, he has a question about the certification as it related to corn. Can you please tell us your certification?
I haven't been to Jackson to be trained on how to investigate. I haven't done that. As your next election, I'm going to be trained on it. But I am trained on how to treat families with compassionate service. I am trained on how to put death certificates in the system. I also have trained to be able to get the transport services on the scene. I'm trained to do budgets. I'm trained to do schedules. So only thing I haven't done, though, I haven't been to Jackson to be trained on investigating. But the budgets, the scheduling, anything dealing with it, I have been trained on.
Okay, any other questions? Yes, ma'am, why do you have to do that?
I did, but he's not.
He
mentioned dignity. I quoted as dignity and death with your notification. So how are you able, if elected, to have an administration that will possibly maybe do an online notification to let them know that the records are now available or that information is now complete? Is that something that you would be willing to maybe consider? Because a lot of us do things mobile. And so is that something that you could offer in your dignity and death?
Yes. What I plan, like I said, plan on having an office, an open door office. I plan on having a secretary in office that we plan on getting the warehouse up. I will have a secretary in office that will use that for your family. If they got any questions, they can call. They will not have to come to the funeral home and look for answers. They will not have to go out and say, well, where can I find the coroner? I will be somewhere where I'm reachable, and you can come sit down, and we can have questions, and we can talk about whatever situation that you have. Versus now, it's hard to find. They're on different jobs, and doing this, and doing that. I will be somewhere reachable to where I can answer any question or help any family in any way I can.
Okay. Now, with that being said, you know, 1 minute
wrap up. Okay. On November 7th, I'm asking for your vote for the next Pike County Coroner. What I plan on doing is bringing back what I've learned from the people that come before me. My father, my grandfather, even the late Percy Pitt. Those people set the foundation, and I want to continue that as your next Pike County Coroner. So I promise to serve family in their time of need. In any time, day, night, or hour, I will be there to serve the family. And also, one thing I also want to do when I get in office, I want to come back and give back to the community. I don't want to be seen as, okay, somebody must have died. I've got a best friend. We talk about having a mentor program with the kids. We want to show them different things that they can do. They don't have to take this route. Also in office, I want to sit down and talk with the families, let them know the options that they have when they get ready going to the service. Mr. Brandon mentioned about the DA's office. Many of you probably don't know that they have a program called Victims of Violent Crime. Now, there are some things that you have to do to qualify. You can't be a convicted felon, but I will give the families that. I will give them that information as your next
good job, big man.
And we're going to do a little different with him because he wasn't here when we did. Come on up. Make your way on up. So we're going to give him his 2 minutes first to do the introduction of telling us who you are, the position you're running for, and a little bit about your platform. And then we'll get into your questions. And we're welcome there,
okay?
For 2 minutes, and that's the record.
Well, my name is Byron Garner, and I'm running for your tax assessor. And basically, I'm looking at saving the community one parcel at a time. Some of the questions that you asked Maroney made there are for me. The tax assessor works with appraisers to actually value the land. We're the ones that set the bills, so to speak. There's a lot of training I have to do. Because my background is course administration and also clerical. So the semantics are a little different, but the makeup is the same. As a minister called me and said, look, this is what this position does, wanted me to run. I said, can I help people? Yes. Do I have to be in front of people smiling all the time? No. Great. I'm there. if you ever try to contact me today, you'll see I'm one of the hardest people to reach because I'm a marriage counselor. I'm married to my beautiful wife over there, baby. We're never separated. Don't try to do it. You're just gonna make yourself mad. And that's the way that I commit myself to my community. I currently teach in Louisiana because I'm helping wherever they let me help. If you look at gun violence, a lot of it has to do with ownership. If you teach a man how to earn something, he has something to lose. So why ain't I gang banging? Why am I not in your house shooting people? Because I have a father, a grandfather, who gave me pride, and I earned my stuff. I mowed my lawn. I built my house from my ground up. So it's not that I don't have the same anger as these young men have, it's that I have something to lose.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Your first question, and you will have 2 minutes to answer all of your questions. First question, what step will you take to ensure accurate and equitable property assessment in Pike County?
You don't reinvent the wheel. What you do is get with somebody that's doing it right. The highest form of flattery is emulation. So what I do is emulate counties that's doing it right. We go to workshops with them. We network with them. I've already been doing it. You just don't know. I was in 2008, the only city that didn't go through during the recession was Hattiesburg. If you check me out, you see that my pastor was Pastor Fairley, and I worked with Johnny Dupree. I'm always behind the scenes. The youngest black which I believe is called Brother Hedman Hunter, youngest black supervisor was a member of my church at the time. These are things that people don't know, because I don't want to be known. I know a man, and that's the only thing I'm trying to do is introduce you to that.
Okay. How do you plan to engage with property owners and address the concerns or questions regarding assessments and property tax?
What are we on right now? You're on social media, aren't you?
Yes.
That's what I use. Wherever you are, that's where I'm coming. So if you're old school like me, I come to your church. But since COVID, we're not on church a lot. I was doing my ministry through Facebook. Then when COVID hit, all of a sudden, the big pastor started doing it. So in a trendsetting type of way, I would trendset that. I do not want to hide it. I have rich relatives. Like, y'all was talking about the auction. Most of us don't know nothing about the auction. So you're paying a $1,000 note for a single parent, I mean, a single family household in a trailer, while my rich relative is paying $100 for that same house and then charging you $1,200 to rent it out. Poor people pay more than rich people for everything that they pay for. I go to a car lot, they say, put $10,000 down. I send my wife in there, they say, you can take it off the lot. Go figure. So again, I'm trying to use our social media platforms. I'm trying to use the things I know you're on to be completely transparent. I no longer want the houses with trees growing out of them because only the rich folks knew about them. And then when their kids got spoiled and rich and left off and lived in Chicago, now the house is growing up, they don't let anybody just own it. I want that transparently put out there for some young couple to start off.
What measures will you implement to streamline the assessment process and improve overall proficiency?
Again, transparency. If you list everything down, if I told you right now that my son is dating his daughter, the first thing you probably would do is find out the name and go to what? Social media. Because you're trying to see, let me see what he's saying on the day-to-day. Let me see what his friends are. Let me see where he attends service. Does he attend service? Those are the type of things you want to know, and that's what I'm going to show you with property. Where is this property located? What is this property valued in comparison to our Lincoln County partners? For example, I had a young couple that I helped get property in Lincoln County. Because as a young black man, he could not purchase the property because the banks looked at him like he must have been selling drugs. So they wanted him to produce a book to show that he actually earned his money. I said, don't worry about it, brother. I went there, purchased that land for him. We built the land from the ground up, sold it to him. Now you have a young couple. He's one of the young guys that was riding around the video with the gun, who is now happily married, well-to-do, good citizen, who I don't, you know, put my business out in the street as far as that brother, but if you met him, you would never know that he was like that.
Do we have any questions from the floor? Yes, ma'am.
What can you bring to the table to better serve the High County? What can you bring?
Ownership. You listen to the rap songs, which I don't, but I deal with a lot of youth. I deal with a lot of youth that tell me, chasing the bag, you ate this, take out the plastic, I'm acting brand new. These are all things of people wanting to have valuable things. They want to have ownership. So guess what the first thing you're going to do? You're going to take a picture with their realtor with that key. Everybody's seen that key, that paper key, and that big smile. Because I have earned this. I own this. That's what I'm going to do, bring ownership. And again, I'm not one of those haters. I'm not taking anything from the wealthy. I want the wealthy to be prosperous too. And I ain't got no problem with you. You keep eating, brother, sister. But to the people that are not seeing it, I want to bring that to them and allow them to have that same joy. And watch what that does for community.
So,
congratulations, by the way, brother.
Thank you, brother. typically, properties are assessed for lower than what they are worth in Pike County. Well, and people love that because obviously they're paying less taxes, which hurts the county.
I was gonna say, it's not always a good thing.
Right, overall. however, when it comes time to sell that house, and they go down to get that assessment,
correct,
and it says that the house is worth $80,000, but the owner wants $140,000 for it,
correct,
then there's a dispute between the assessor's office and the property owner. I don't ask you if you can commit, but how do we fix this problem to ensure that the county is getting every penny that they deserve, because that money goes back into school districts, that money goes back into the things